Blog Talk Radio.
And good morning. This is another edition of Talking with Veterans, a program of Sons of the American Legion Radio based at Squadron 135 in downtown White Plains, New York. And today we got a special guest calling in from Texas, and that is U.S. Army Captain Nathaniel Gooden, who is a member of the branch of Corps of Engineers. Nathaniel, how are you today?
Hey, good morning, Ken. I'm doing well.
Hey, that's great. We're pleased to have you join us. I should remind our audience, one of our great sponsors is RallyPoint.com, which has 1.5 million veterans that are in its community. And you can sign up free and receive all sorts of news and information about veterans and reconnect, RallyPoint.com. You can find it right on the Internet. And we post our West Point football reports there. And Nathaniel, appreciate a chance to chat with you a little bit. You've graduated from West Point, studied civil engineering there, served in the U.S. Army, and now are approaching transition to the start of a civilian career. Let's start. Why did you decide to go to West Point?
Hey, Ken. Well, I think it started back in high school. I was actually in this let me backtrack here. My brother was in the Army, and I was, in kind of summer of my high school years, and I was like, I want to kind of do something cool. Like, I honestly really liked the commercials. I really liked all the cool stuff that the Army, was spinning, and all that just kind of adventure, and I really wanted to be a part of that. And so I was in this, go ahead. Sorry.
I was just going to ask, did you have very strong academic skills coming out of high school?
Out of high school, I was kind of middle of the pack academically. I took AP classes. I did graduate high school early because I skipped a grade in middle school. So, relative to that, I was doing decently well academically, but I don't was any, top tier varsity guy, not varsity, but valedictorian or anything.
I meant sort of in the sense of, did you have a particular area of study that you had identified you were really good at and interested in?
Oh, yeah. So I started with engineering. I loved engineering, and I chose to go to an engineering magnet program in high school. And that really was kind of my path. I wanted to be an engineer. I wanted to do, work on city stuff. I played with Legos when I was a kid. I loved all that stuff. So I kind of had a predetermined path to kind of go into engineering, and that's what I ultimately went up into in college.
Sure. We've been doing some reports on STEM education, science, technology, engineering, and math, so important. And what was it like arriving at West Point? Gosh, our day and summer basic training that first year, plebe year, is quite a shock to the system for everyone. What was it like for you?
Well, I'm going to go back to my high school days. I was in that RTC program, and it was Naval, reserve program called Sea Cadets, and I was all about military experience. Oh, yes, yeah. I was lead LPO of my unit, and I was doing the training, and I decided on West Point. And so when I got to West Point, it was honestly, I think it was more of a shock because now I'm very, very ingrained. It's not like you're there on the weekend. You're not there, on some of your nights out of school. You're there all
sure.
the time. 24/7. Training. And I actually got to say that the first year was a little bit difficult for me. Really because I had my parents, basically my mom was going through some job changes and health changes as well. And so I had that kind of separation. Also, I was 17. I graduated high school at 16 and went to West Point just when I turned 17. And that was really kind of a shocked a little bit, being separated from home, I got to say. And so I was just kind of like, you know, awestruck at being at this place. And so it took me a year after like plea year to kind of get my feet on the ground and be like, okay, I can play the game. I know what to do.
Yeah, well, that's a challenge. Certainly, you know, not being able to go home as often as a standard college student would be able to. Now I got to ask you, if you had been in Sea Cadets, why were you not more interested in Annapolis versus West Point?
Well, so that actually, it's funny. There was these trainings that we had in Sea Cadets that were run by like Marines and Navy personnel, and one of them was called SWCC, Special Warfare Combat Crewman, and it's like a special forces branch of the Navy. And I did that training at Sea Cadets. It was grueling. It was actually really tough for teenagers. We were on boats, and you had to like dive off the boat, swim to shore, and do all this PT in the water. And I was like, okay, this is interesting. Like, I'm interested in doing it. But then I was like, okay, statistically, like how would the selection rate be for me to get into this kind of special part of the Navy? If I don't do this, then I'm going to be on a boat. And I was like, I really don't want to be on a boat for that long. And one thing that actually attracted me about West Point when I started to look into it my junior year, it was the leadership and the history. My family is they're immigrants. I'm first generation immigrant born here in America in Smith, Massachusetts. And so we didn't have a very strong rooting in military history. So I kind of picked up that mantle myself along with my brother, and I really just enjoyed West Point's history. You know, presidents, top tier leaders in the country, at the foundations of our country's roots, and I love that. I love that type of stuff. I live for it. So,
well, that's great. Hey, just mention if you would your brother's service. What did he do in the Army?
So my brother, he enlisted around early 2000, I just don't know what year. What he did was he enlisted, and you know, after that we had 9/11, and that was significant event. And so he deployed, in support of the operations over in Iraq, and he was there in 2003. He was, I believe, he was in transportation, and he was a gunner for convoys. And he deployed
twice.
Very dangerous. Yeah, it was, honestly. And you know, I got to say that the service members over there, especially, you know, in all the branches, but in the convoy routes, I saw in the news, we're getting hit a lot. And when I kind of understood it later on in life, when he came back and he had, you know, a lot of things to kind of talk about and about his experience, and it really took a toll on him. Basically, there was just a lot of kinetic stuff, you know, around those convoys. And so he deployed in 2003 and 2005. He saw combat and he went back in 2016. I was actually at Fort Hood and I got to see him because he's in a reservist up in Massachusetts. So.
Okay. And how is he doing now?
He's doing well. I mean, he's he's had some ups and downs, but he is right now in Springfield, and I think he's looking to get into social work. He used to be a police officer, and now he's looking into getting into social work and helping others. So, you know, I think that's a really good way to kind of get back and get himself settled. So.
Well, if there's anything the American Legion could do for him, there's a lot of posts up in Massachusetts. We had a former national commander not long ago. He used to work for the VA. And they are doing everything they can to help veterans who are going through transition, health needs, education needs, and hope. And if there's anything the American Legion can do, just please let us know, and we'll get that in motion. Hey, now let's talk a little bit. If you would, we're talking with Captain Nathaniel Gooden, class of 14, out of West Point Army Corps of Engineers, and. A little bit about what was academics, I know you went into civil engineering. What was academics? What was the military like? How'd you balance all that there?
You mean at West Point?
Oh, West Point, yeah.
So I think what I did at West Point was basically I have to say, first off, I really got involved with our extracurricular program. I was with WKDT Radio. shout out to them, 89.3 WKDT FM. They're at West Point. They're a really good cadet group, and if you go on Facebook, they can update you on core activities. So I was involved with that program. Yeah, I was involved in that program early on my plebe year, and that really gave me kind of like a sense of a family and a really vibrant club to participate in and do something that was really phenomenal. So that helped me kind of like with my outlet, right, to kind of give me some break. With the academics, I went and I studied, and I went a lot of honestly, a lot of times I went to AI or additional instruction from instructors to ask questions, because I was definitely being flooded with a lot of stuff that I was, you know, balancing all that stuff. I was like, I need to ask these questions. I need to figure out how to, you know, get my physics grade up, my chem grade up. I honestly got to say I'm biased that I was only focused on engineering, and any subject that didn't focus on engineering, I really did not, enjoy sitting in. I'm a very utility type of guy, and I'm like, if I'm doing something, it should be the maximum utility to me. and so I was like, oh, chem, okay, well, what do I need to know in chemistry? You know, like, it's not related to building buildings in any way that I know of. So, you know, what's English related in? So those kind of subjects, they weren't the strongest focus. I got to say, though, I did focus on my engineering subjects when I got into my major, and I absolutely loved it. And I have a higher success rate in GPA, my civil engineering major, because I just absolutely loved it. I was just enamored with it. Anything about engineering and cities and stuff like that.
Hey, maybe you could explain where I talked to a lot of the football players. Systems engineering is a popular major. I know a couple of players have been chemical engineering. What are the differences in the different branches of engineering?
So, yeah, I mean, it's so diverse. You have civil, you have chemical, let me back up. Civil, mechanical are like the two functions, you know, basically. We go hand in hand, we argue all the time. But civil, if it should not move. That's kind of the premise. For mechanical, it should move. So the running joke is, if you have a problem and you see it and it's moving, if you're a civil engineer, you take a lot of duct tape and a lot of glue and you put it to make it not move. If you're a mechanical engineer, you put some WD-40 on it and you make it move. So that's kind of the running joke. But in all seriousness, you have civil engineering, mechanical engineering, chemical engineering, electrical engineering, environmental engineering. And so civil is your buildings, your city infrastructure, anything from transportation to your sewage system to your water system to a structural building, anything that relates to the civil part of society as far as their infrastructure, that's what civil engineering focuses on. For mechanical engineering, mechanical engineering is pretty broad. I mean, you have basically thermodynamics and dynamics, and they focus on heat transfer, your moving machines, your airplanes, your air conditioning systems, your cars, robotics. So that's their type of engineering. And chemical and electrical, obviously, you know, they're talking about basically production of, chemical products and so on and reactions. And then you talk about electrical engineering, which is great, because you look at electrical engineering, it's your cell phone, right? It's your computer. There's a lot of different ways. And we can go on and on. I don't want to go too long on that.
No, that's very helpful. One other thing, because one of the things we see in engineering is software engineering is becoming a vital part of so many activities. We talk about cell phones. You talk about we were just down talking with the people at Lockheed about software for an airplane, software for ships. I mean, for the Navy and all that. That whole field. Is there a common thread between the different fields of engineering? Any common courses that you started out by taking? Hello?
Hello? Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead, Nathaniel.
Oh.
I guess I was
that.
Asking if there was a common thread. I mean, were there common courses that you had to take in it to start in engineering?
Yes. So I would say for civil and mechanical engineering, we both actually took, I think, mechanics and materials, which was our core class. So you take that with a mix of mechanical and civil engineering majors, and then you branch off. And so the reasoning behind that is that, you know, for both civil and mechanical engineering, we need to understand the properties of the materials and the strengths of those materials before we build anything. And so it's a very common understanding between the both of us, right? And then after that, we go off and we make things move or not move, right? Like exactly what I was talking about. Or we design stuff for cities or design stuff for robots.
We see the whole world. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say for the other engineering, it's varied, right? Because you can be an environmental engineer, you can be a chemical engineering, software engineer, yada, yada. They're varied, and I don't think that they have common ones, but I don't have too much knowledge on that. But I will say that problem solving is a common thread with engineering. Problem solving. This is what engineers do. So that's the common thread.
Hey, that absolutely. Now, let's go. We've got about 13 minutes left talking with Captain Nathaniel Gooden, West Point graduate, class of 14, serving in the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, about to transition to civilian occupation. Tell us a little bit about what was it like for you to join the Army after commissioning and go out to Corps of Engineers. I know there's a couple of courses you take, basic officer. Tell us about some of the steps from leaving West Point to going into the big Army.
Yeah, once I graduated, I went to basic officer leadership course at Fort Leonard Wood. And that was an interesting course. I got to say my civil engineering knowledge really helped me in that course. I kind of breezed through the academic content in that course and graduated. Then I showed up to my unit in 2015 and became a platoon leader. And that was, you know, an honor and a great experience. That was, I mean, really a foundational experience in leading teams, leading people, and dealing with people. Really many, many lessons learned during that time, but it's also fun. My platoon, we were 87th Sapper Company with the 20th Engineer Battalion out of Fort Hood, and we did demolition. We had these tracked vehicles, these M113s, which are tanks. They're not that well. They're maintenance headaches, but we blew stuff up. We drove around. We trained. It was very fun, very exciting, and I met a lot of really just great soldiers who just had like really awesome personalities and a lot of in-depth knowledge of their field. Like one thing the NCO Corps has taught me is being a subject matter expert in your field and what that means and how you bring your capability to the fight and to different problems. And after that, you know, in the Army, I went on various things, but I ultimately went to the Corps of Engineers. I applied through my branch, and I got accepted, and I moved over to the Corps of Engineers to do a little bit more technical stuff. And what I did was in Tulsa, Oklahoma, where I was first assigned, I inspected dams, and I led projects to repair some of the infrastructure around the dams, which was an amazing experience under the leadership of Colonel Hudson, who's a very great commander. And then after that, I actually volunteered to deploy. They were setting up a new task force in Iraq under the Corps of Engineers to basically provide engineering and base camp master planning services, as well as environmental services to in support of Operation Inherent Resolve. And so I deployed I deployed in July 2017 there. And a deployment is an experience like no other. I learned a lot of lessons. Definitely taught me a lot about patience and really kind of maintaining your patience and your fortitude over long periods of time. Working in an austere environment and working long days. I will say that I'm happy that I was safe. We were at Camp Taji, which was a pretty established base, and the kinetic operations were, you know, kind of to the Special Operations community and some of the other warfighters out there. But it was just an experience of being there for so long and working with civilians and subject matter experts that really taught me a lot. So, Well, I came back in July 2017, and now I'm working with the Corps as a military planner and project manager on various projects. It's taken me all over the world, to Japan every other month and so on. So.
Oh, that's great. Now, you mentioned to me that you go and work with different American military in Japan. So what can you tell us about what that experience is like?
Yeah, this current experience, this job is an amazing job, I would say. I'm working with the Corps of Engineers Fort Worth District, and we basically manage the master planning activities at our bases. It's varied. My specific team, which I'm going to talk about, is focused on the PACOM region, so the Pacific Ocean area. And so, you know, you basically have a customer, which is a base that wants to improve their layout or their facilities and their livability at their bases. That means by assessing barracks, building better housing, making sure the airfield is lined up right, make sure that we have, you know, areas that, you know, have synergy with, like, basically if we put the airstrip here, you know, then we have the ammo point here and there's an efficient way to get to it. So we're planning these bases, and we're also planning them in respect to new green design principles like LEED and U.S. Green Building Council standards. So I really think it's an awesome initiative to work on. Part of something that's improving the livability of these bases and the quality of life for soldiers, but also making more efficient ways for us to conduct our missions. So it's a really great experience.
Sure. Now, you mentioned you would love to work after the Army in a civilian role working on development of projects in major cities. We're talking a little bit about the Hudson Yards project, a huge development on the west side of Manhattan. Why is that an interest area for you?
It's an interest area because going back to my roots, going back to my high school days and so on, I played a lot of SimCity, which is this city planning game, and I built a lot of things with Legos, and I love cities. Okay, I really love cities. And I love just what cities bring to the table. They are, I believe I just read something the other day, but I mean above around 50% of GDP. You know, they produce 50 or more. I think it's up to close to 70% of GDP for an entire world. Like, it's concentrated in our cities, and why? Because they're efficient ways to trade. They make markets efficient. They give us abilities to collaborate and socialize and get things done. I mean, that's what our development as human beings have been. And seeing some of the ways these man-made structures, right, like these man-made mountains, is so phenomenal that we came up with these things. And so that's why I'm interested in cities. I bike to work. I love it. I love looking at the going around town every day. And I think that the city of the future is just an awesome place to live. And I want to be a part of the next drive and new kind of initiative to make our cities better and more robust. So.
Well, you mentioned when you were a cadet at West Point that you had a chance to visit a couple of the big projects in New York, the Freedom Tower in Lower Manhattan, and some of the others. What were some of those experiences like at West Point for you when they got you these opportunities to go out and see these major construction projects?
I mean, the opportunity was, again, really exceptional, and so it was just I had my jaw was literally on the floor at any of these places. So I went to the East Side Access Project. That's a project to connect the LIRR to Grand Central.
Yeah.
And I went underneath there and saw that. And I went to the top of Freedom Tower when it was under construction, as well with the Civil and Mechanical Engineering Department. I mean, It was just awesome, and I felt like I am part of history. You know, you talk, you see the Empire State Building, you see American history of what, you know, particularly New York City has meant to our country, to be in the, you know, heart of our development is just, it's legacy. It's legend making. So I loved it.
Well, that's terrific. You mentioned an interest in the finance part of it, not just the construction part of it. What role would you like to get yourself involved in between the construction and the finance industries?
Yeah, so I think what I learned was kind of from some research and some mentorship is that these projects take money and finance, you know, financing to build. That's before they come online, they need to be funded. And so I think that my belief is that, you know, public-private partnerships are a very good way to go in our society, and especially in our the way that our country's set up. And I would like to be basically the deal maker behind that, the one that's being able to coordinate some of the investor interest and also coordinate and bring in the market need and the societal need and put those things together and be like, okay, let's form a team, okay, and build, say, 500 units of new housing for families, or the, you know, the governor's office of New York, the governor's office of Texas said that they expect new ridership to come on the roads, and they want to build an alternative to that. So they want to build a new light rail station or something have you. All right, how do we get that? You know, I'm going to call Bob, I'm going to call Jim and say, hey, I have an opportunity here to do something pretty awesome, and we have a great team. Let's get it together. I have the finance, basically part of it lined up. I have the statements, I have the numbers crunched. And so that's where I see myself going. And I'm probably, you know, at the beginnings of my career, I'm going to work probably on the more entry-level area, analyzing these deals and analyzing some of the prospects and then presenting them to my leadership. But then after that, my long-term goal is to be that kind of deal maker, you know, for these major projects.
Well, you've got a career path you've prepared for, and you've got a very focused idea on a very fast-growing, important industry. Certainly, we see it in New York City, all the buildings that are going up, and what a vital business. And you spoke very well to the point about the value of cities in today for improving efficiency, improving collaboration. That's neat to see. Now, hey, I got to ask you on LinkedIn, and if someone would like to reach you, they could reach you on your LinkedIn page for Nathaniel Gooden. As you mentioned, your interest in bicycling and taking a bicycle wherever you go to explore. Why did you find that a good way to see a city?
I think it's a great way to see a city. You know, thanks for the question. And because, you know, you're out in the open air, right? You don't have, no offense to our motorcycles, scooter riders, anything like that, but you're not on the road. You're in the nooks and the crannies of the city. You're on these side paths. You're on these alleyways. You can get a bike anywhere. I have a Brompton bicycle. I can fold it up, and I can put it on a subway car or even an overhead bin of a plane, go to a city, fold it back out, and I can go wherever I want. It's, to me, it's like an ultimate, you know, human invention. It's human-powered. It's small. It gets there. And then you feel so when I was in Boston for over New Year's Eve weekend, and you're just, you know, pedaling your bike, looking up at these Goliath, you know, towers and structures, and it makes you just feel so in awe. I mean, I feel like a kid when I do that. So I love being on a bike in a city, and I think it's a great way to be active and to get a good view in.
Hey, Nathaniel, we got a break in a moment, but I just want to thank you, Captain Nathaniel Gooden of the United States Army, graduate of West Point, class of 14, and thank you for your service. Great talk today. Boy, do you have a bright future in your career path in engineering, construction, finance, and great to talk with you today.
Hey, thank you very much, Ken. I really appreciate your time today and you know, inviting me on to your forum. I feel really humbled and really appreciative. And also, you know, thank you for those resources with American Legion. Definitely will shoot those over to my brother as well. I think that's a really great effort. And I thank you also for your efforts with veterans. So,
hey, thank you so much, Nathaniel Gooden. We will look forward to another chance to chat. And this is Talking with Veterans, part of Sons of the American Legion radio program of Post 135 in White Plains, New York, Sons of the American Legion, Squadron 135. Thank you to Captain Nathaniel Gooden, and we'll be back with another episode very soon, and have a great day.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Nathaniel. Believe me, I don't know.